good mark.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go. Have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Wednesday, hump day. We love a hump day.
A few Liberal politicians have got themselves into hot water after following some hot people accounts. They've been following people like porn stars, lingerie models, Playboy playmates, and some men have said that modern feminism is a cancer. I'm sure that's taken out of context.
Do we need to say allegedly, or has this been proven as fact that these people are following? Like, oh, sorry, are they allegedly porn stars?
People have gone on to they're OnlyFans stars.
Oh,
there's a few of them.
Right.
But
it's social media. You can anyone can follow them.
So yeah, no.
But it's not like
I'm more worried about for Dobbo and his mates.
It's not funny.
So there was one Twitter account. I don't know if I can say this.
Say it.
You might have to bleep it out.
Say it.
At Whores of Yore.
Whores of Yore. No, I looked at it. Because when I saw this story, I looked it up.
Oh, did you?
It's a Twitter account that talks about the history of prostitution.
Oh, amazing.
The world's oldest what do they say? The world's oldest occupation.
Well, David Davis unfollowed them. I just don't really see there's an issue. Maybe just have a private account. Have a personal account where you follow these. I don't think your business and your work account it should
have
be following
never
them.
Works.
Have a, yeah,
never
have a,
works.
Have a private one. I don't see why it's an issue following them, though.
No.
I mean, they're quite attractive. I'd follow them.
I mean, you know, there's a famous moment with a certain journalist in the sporting world when a photo of him that pops up frequently.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really see a problem with it, but just maybe set up another account.
I don't want anybody checking my followers either. I'm sure there's people on there that I haven't followed that are following me.
Do you know what I'm actually on right now?
Whores of Yore.
People Dobbo's following.
Oh.
Just going to scroll at random.
Does he follow Melbourne Boudoir by Karen? Because he follows that as well.
Are you on Twitter or Instagram?
I'm on your Instagram. I'm just having a bit of a flick through.
That's a real invasion, you know.
I know.
I don't like that.
You can make
you
it
looking
private.
At Liam looking at your followers?
Yeah, who my followers are. I don't even know who my followers are.
Are you looking at who he's following?
So far,
Liam?
Yeah, I'm looking at who he's following. So far, he's just following mostly rugby league players and people we know and football teams. And oh, here's some X's, as in the letter triple X.
Ooh.
What's this account, Dobbo?
Whatever, idiot. There's none of that in there.
He's quickly going through it.
Boobalicious.
I'm actually looking now.
Don't worry, Liesl. Yours is next. History was made by Melbourne United player Isaac Humphries.
A few years ago, I fell into a very dark place, a very lonely place. I couldn't be who I am, and I attempted to take my life. And the main reason behind me becoming so low and being in that point is because I was very much struggling with my sexuality and coming to terms with the fact that I'm gay. And I hated it about myself. I was disgusted at myself. I thought that I could not be that person within our environment, within a basketball environment. And it wasn't until I was in a community that's full of pride and happiness and joy. And it was a big wake-up call for me. But then came the big, you know, question mark of how do I be a basketball player and how do I join a new team when I've finally come to terms with this about myself and I don't want to hide who I am anymore.
That is 24-year-old Isaac Humphries of Melbourne United in the NBL speaking to his teammates and the coaching staff and the people around him in that basketball club about the fact that he is a gay man in playing professional basketball.
And watching that video really brought me to tears because it's such an emotional story for him to share, and that takes a lot of courage and a lot of introspection to say that to your teammates and probably the people that you respect the most and you care about the most. Mm. And you care about what your teammates think of you as a person, so you worry about the judgment that comes from that. So I think it's a really good conversation to have, and I'm really glad that he put it out there. Mm. And whatever the intentions were with it, I think they were good, and there's no harm in saying that.
And you're right. But that was staged, and that is for everybody to see. Let's be honest. That there was film crews there and everything like that, and he wanted to get his message. My point on all of this is that he shouldn't have had to do that in this day and age.
He shouldn't have to, but he did.
But, yeah, I understand he did, but his sexuality should not in any way have to be a discussion point in sport. It should not. He should. And yes, he's been applauded around the world. And I hope that other people feel comfortable. But there are people who are obviously gay in sport who don't feel comfortable enough because of the stigma that goes with it, who haven't shared this.
Yeah.
I just feel sorry for Isaac in that sense that we as a community are at that point where he felt that he had to get this message out. Mm. He just couldn't play sport. And if he's gay or not gay, it doesn't, it
really
should not
doesn't matter.
And you swam with, you swam with arguably one of the best swimmers in the world who also had to come to grips. He was constantly asked about it.
Yeah, and Thorpe had a really tough time with it, and he was asked from the age of 16.
Yeah, this is Thorpe on Michael Parkinson. He did this in you talk about staging it or publicly announcing this. Yeah. This is Thorpe doing it with the world's biggest interviewer.
You know, I've thought about this for a long time.
I bet. Yeah.
I'm not straight.
You're not.
And this is only something that very recently, we're talking in the past 2 weeks, I've been comfortable telling the closest people around me.
Interestingly, we can only probably count on one hand the amount of openly gay male sports people in this country.
And that's a strange conversation because you look at Moana Hope in AFLW. Yeah. We've seen Ali Brigginshaw proudly walk, you know, the awards nights with her partner.
And it's celebrated.
Sam Kerr, Megan Rapinoe. There are all these famous female athletes openly in homosexual relationships, and yet in men's sport, Isaac Humphries is the first openly gay male to be playing in a top-tier basketball anywhere in the world.
Isn't that sad? He's not. But he's the first one to come out, like, you know, to come out and say that openly.
But that conversation starts to break down that stigma. And the more people that do it, kind of like mental health, the more people that talk about it, the more it becomes less taboo, the less people care. Not care, that's not the right word, but less judgment that comes with it. So,
Lise, how long ago was that Thorpe came out with that?
That was 2014.
I think the interview, as far as we could find, which, you know.
It was actually not that long ago.
For 8 years ago, and for a guy, as you say, he was asked that question when he was 16 years old.
And it was just so hard. And it was hard being on the team with him because we would see the questions that he got asked and we thought, why do you care? Why is it even interesting?
He swims good.
He swims fast.
What does it care? It matter if he loves.
Doesn't matter. And that's too young. That is far too young to be asking anyone about their sexuality. And any heterosexuals, you don't ask them who they slept with on the weekend, do you? Because you don't talk about that. It's not appropriate.
So.
Yes, especially to a 16-year-old.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. 8 years on, and we're probably not, you know, as far forward as a nation, you know, as we probably should be. I mean, hat tips to Isaac.
Great conversation. Good starter.
It's a sad price that we're still there that he has to do that.
Yeah. Well done, Isaac Humphries, and well done to his team for getting him around him.
Summer.
Are we up and about?
Triple M Cricket.
Right, let's get serious here.
Brings you every single ball.
Listen to this.
And you want to be listening from the very first delivery. Listener app.
Have a bit of that.
It starts November 17.
Well, this is going to be good.
Triple M rocks cricket.
And for those playing at home with their calendars, that's tomorrow. Triple M's cricket commentary starts tomorrow. The one day between Australia and England.
That came around quick, didn't it?
Didn't it? It's because we've been talking about this great Queensland
team. We've been
team.
Distracted.
We have been distracting ourselves and you with the greatest Queensland cricket 11 of all time. We've been putting it together. It began when we anointed Jimmy Marr as our first opener. From there, Carl Rackerman joined the team. And then Matty Hayden came in.
Yep.
Martin Love comes in at number three. Ian Healy behind the stumps with the gloves. We got Jeff Thompson, Michael Kasperwich as bowlers. And Stewie Law was inducted into the side yesterday, which means we've got three spots left.
How much are these players loving being a part of this team? They're so honoured. Yeah. And thrilled to be announced as part of the Queensland's greatest 11.
Stewie Law, who coaches Bangladesh, one of their under 19 sides, has said he hasn't been home for 5 years, but if we do something with this, if we have a lunch or a game or whatever, let him know and he'll fly back.
I think we need to.
We're going to turn this into something. Now, Stewie Law also contributed to our final bowling spot discussion because at the moment, Craig McDermott's not in the side, Mitchell Johnson's not there, Andy Bickle's not there, and Stewie Law astutely pointed out, at the moment, with Thompson, Kasperwich and Rackerman, we don't have a left armer. We don't have a left arm bowler.
Mm.
And Dobbo, it's fair to say that bowling lineup is a little thin on the ground for batting. They don't bat deep.
They don't. So we are going to anoint another bowler.
Yes.
And yesterday, Stuart Law made a very, very good point about the bowler that he would take because he said, we've got three right-handers and we need a left-handed bowler. That's the captain coming out. We actually hadn't thought that out.
No.
So would it be fair to say that we can announce another?
I think we can make it official that Mitchell Johnson.
Yeah, will be the left-hand bowler. And
comes in at number
can,
eight in the
and
side.
And he can bat.
Exactly.
We want him on the show. I slid into his DMs. He didn't respond.
Didn't he?
Mitchell Johnson almost earned his way out of this side.
I know, because he didn't get back to
us.
He
has not been picking up his phone.
He's the only person that hasn't got back to us to
He's part of the Triple M cricket commentary lineup this summer.
Oh, maybe one other.
And he has not been able to answer the phone.
But everyone else is stoked to be.
So Mitchell Johnson in the side. Apologies to Craig McDermott. Apologies to Andy Bickle.
Yeah.
Call us back, Mitchell Johnson.
But there's a reason Craig McDermott isn't in the side. And that's because of his relationship with our next member.
With our number four. And for those not aware, this is a little interchange between Craig McDermott and the man that will come in at number four in this side.
Hey, dude. Talk to you. Come here.
If you do that again, you'll be on the next plane home.
Oh.
Test me and you'll see.
That is the one and only Captain Grumpy, Alan Border.
Oh, so
Alan Border has to be there.
Oh, he's in.
And it leaves us with one more, which we will announce in the coming Friday.
That's going to be on Friday's show. But before we move on from AB, this is Captain Grumpy. We haven't been able to get AB on the phone. We've had some tech issues getting hold of AB. But he had to be there. I mean, this is a man who would make the greatest Australian side of all time, let alone a Queensland side. But
well, he's got a field named after him.
He's got one in Mossman, Alan Border Field at Mossman in New South Wales, and then he's got Alan Border Field in Queensland. But he's at a Queensland.
And I think Ian Botham summed it up brilliantly. He was also part of the Triple M cricket commentary lineup for this summer. He once said about Alan Border that this bloke deserves a statue outside every single major cricket ground in the country.
It's a big call.
And this is before he didn't have any. Off the back of that comment he made to Mark Howard on a podcast, there was a groundswell, and that's where the AB statue at the front of the Gabba was born from.
Oh, you're joking.
Bernard Fanning and the likes got together and formed the committee to get Alan Border a statue at the front of the Gabba.
That's brilliant.
So he is well and truly
Very
in
well
the side.
Very well deserved.
Which means now we have, as you say, Dobbo, one spot left. Jimmy Maher, Matt Hayden, Martin Love, Alan Border, Stuart Law. The number six spot is vacant. Ian Healy, Mitchell Johnson, newly appointed, Jeff Thompson, Michael Kasperich, and Carl Rackerman.
It's a fair team.
If you have a think about who's missing,
you might be able to work it out.
You might be able to figure it
we'll
out.
We'll announce that on Friday's show.
Yeah. Really proud. And parents out there, they'll understand. Last night was a significant night in our family. I have two kids to my first wife, William and Ava, and William is 17. And last night, he was awarded captain of the school for Ipswich Grammar School for next year, which is a massive achievement. She's going into year 12, and he was awarded head boy. So he will be the captain of the school next year, which, to me, I've got to be honest, it's never something that I would have, you know, thought that he would have been that. But he is very much a leader and a young man and a really great kid and a really great communicator. And you guys have met him. He comes in here and the first thing he said was he's strapping. He's got a big presence. He's 6'4".
Mate, I would have voted for him out of intimidation. he's enormous.
Yeah, he's just – and look, he's a man. And,
yeah, he is.
It's a great achievement for him. But it throws up – and a lot of people would understand this – Amity and I were there, and Will's mum, my ex-wife Patrice, and my daughter and her mother were there. And the awkwardness that happens in these moments when, you know, you've created this amazing children and you're so proud of your children, but there's a divorce and you're co-parenting. And when you get to that point, it's like, what happens? And I'm not going to even try and deny it. A mother probably has more input into a son and to the children than what I have. And Patrice has done a phenomenal job as the primary carer of William and
you
Ava.
You may not have been there a lot personally, but financially you've worked very hard.
100%, 100%. And I've been there and they've seen them. And I mean, we spend a lot of time. I speak to them every day. But Patrice has done a lot of the heavy lifting of driving around while I was working. And in the early days, I never got to see him play sport because I was always working on weekends because we were in rugby league. And, you know, so it's always been. And so in that moment afterwards, you get up and we're finished. And I actually wanted to give her a hug and say, hey, mate, congratulations. Yeah. Like, we've got there. Our eldest son is school captain of Ipswich Grammar School, one of the great schools in Queensland.
So proud of what you've produced.
And mate, well done. But it's that awkward between us because of the, like, she literally put her hand out and we shook hands.
Like a business transaction. Yeah, and nice doing business with you.
And I mean this ingenuously. I absolutely respect her for being a mother.
Of course.
I can't talk about how good a job she's done. But it got me going about there must be people that have broken up and who co-parent who have got it far better.
Who don't shake hands.
Who are actually legitimately
good mates.
Yes, they've gone through hell. Yeah. It's the worst time of our life. We behaved poorly at different times. It was ugly in the battle, but we've come through it and our kids and we've learnt to love each other again and know each other, accept them and become
separation
good mates.
Separation and divorce is so much more common these days as well.
50% of the population.
Is that what it is?
50% of the population.
50%.
It's a harrowing, harrowing statistic. But there are really good news stories. Like, I've got Ella Daisy, and I never married Kylie, but we're great mates. Great, great friends.
Yeah.
Kylie and I are great friends, but it's a completely different, you know, we had this miracle in Ella Daisy, you know, but we're great friends. But I am sure out there, and 133 53, I'd love to hear people who have got it right and who are great mates with their exes who have become friends and gone through the full circle.
Wonder if there's anyone out there that holidays.
Oh,
because if you've got the kids, maybe you do.
Just go on
with
a holiday
the ex
together.
For the sake of the kids.
It's probably cheaper.
Yeah, probably a cheaper way to do it. I'm going to go out tonight. You stay home, look after the kids.
Yeah,
I'm going to go and try
it.
And pick up. You stay home, look after the kids.
I'm not even talking that. I just want to hear good stories about when you and your ex. I mean, last night was awesome. And it wasn't anyway. We had a family photo. We did all that. We did the whole thing. Like Ava, William, Patrice, and I had a photo together. But I'd love to hear about people who have got it
They're
right.
Friends with their ex. Lisa, were you friends with your ex? Would you shake hands with them?
Shake hands might be a bit of a stretch.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just not one that's friends with exes.
Right.
I would. Yeah.
You're not.
She clearly doesn't get on with her exes.
not that I don't get on. I just don't speak to them.
No.
I'm not friends with them. That's for sure.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M, 133 53. Are you mates with your ex? We'd like to hear your story. Mandy in Springfield Lakes. Mandy, are you friends? Have you got a good relationship with your ex?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. So my ex-husband and his partner and my husband and myself are absolute best friends. We go on holidays together, spend most weekends together. We used to do family dinners with my daughter. She's now moved to Adelaide. We still do family dinners, the four of us.
Wow.
Without the kids.
Without the kids, yeah.
Oh my God.
Children must be so proud of that to demonstrate that kind of maturity.
Yeah, and my husband's got three children as well, and they've accepted my daughter like a sibling.
Love that.
It's one huge family.
How did you get to that point? Obviously, he's an ex for a reason. How did you get, was it about forgiveness and just moving through it? Or do you think the fact that when you both had partners, it became a lot easier?
No, I think what it was that we were friends before we got together. And I said to him that no matter what happens, I always want to stay your friend. And he makes me laugh like nobody else does. And both our partners are Australian. We're both English. So we have this real amazing sense of humour that we have together. And that's just always been the way.
Oh, Mandy, that is a lovely story. So there's hope out there.
There is hope out there. And I love it, Mandy. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Tracy, are you friends with your ex?
It's my daughter and her ex. They've been
separated. Oh, we lost Tracy for a sec. Got you back,
Liam,
Tracy.
Liam hung up on you, sorry.
Up on you.
Okay, so yeah, it's my daughter and her ex. They've been separated for a few years and they joined to a daughter. And my daughter's got a new partner and had a new baby, and they do everything together. The ex-husband still goes around to my daughter's house. We go to dance lessons together as a family. We have birthday parties for everyone out mine and my husband's house. We have Christmas together, everyone together. and it's a normal family environment. There's nothing's changed.
Tracy, how old's your daughter? You don't sound that old.
34.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, that's great.
How old are you, Tracy, if you don't mind me asking?
57, maybe? Yeah.
Don't
you
worry.
Sound really young.
You should never ask a woman her age. That's just so rude.
Yeah, you never ask a woman her age. Yeah, but we've accepted all the boys into the family, and everybody gets on really well.
Lovely.
I love that.
Wonderful to hear, Tracy. Thank you for the call. We've got time for one more. Amanda in Tingalpa. Amanda, have you got a good relationship with your ex?
I do. When we separated, we had a rule. We had the rule right from the start that if we did go our own ways, we would remain friends for the sake of the kids. We remained best friends. We didn't love each other, but, you know, we made them, so we had to get on.
Yeah,
we made them.
well, that was the thing. And, you know, he went on to date. He had some trouble. He came back and lived with me, stayed in my garage for a couple of years, dated women while he was living there. They knew the deal. You know, we all, like the woman he's with now, her and I are friends. We all go out to tea together. She gets a kick out of it too. She tells everybody she's the girlfriend and I'm the wife.
You're like, no, I'm done.
you know, we don't talk as much now that the kids are all older, but you know, we still have to see each other. We've got grandkids.
Sure.
My daughter has a similar relationship with the father of her son. Has gone on to, you know, co-parent, get on really well, be friends, help each other.
Sounds like you've created a really healthy environment, Amanda. So well done to you.
There is such a better way to do it than having it. You hear these stories.
Notice we haven't had a lot of blokes call through.
No, we had a lot of women, didn't we?
Makes me wonder if there's the blokes on the other end side of these relationships going,
that's not how it happens.
This is not how we're watching.
She was happy.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, we really
It's back.
This magical state of Queensland that produces the weird, the wonderful, the wacky stories. Today, I don't know if it's Queensland's fault.
Okay.
But it's involved. That's all I'll say. Harvard University astrophysicist Avi Loeb, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a Harvard professor, so he must know what he's talking about. Avi Loeb insists that there is a UFO just off the coast of Queensland. Reckons it crashed there in 2014. And that he is planning on planning an expedition to search the ocean floor to find this UFO. Thinks that there was an object streaked across the sky off the coast of Manus Island, actually. But that's in between Queensland. And in 2014, and he thinks it was some sort of spacecraft, and he is going to go on an expedition to find this.
He's an astrophysicist. Wouldn't he think it was a shooting star, not a alien spacecraft?
I don't know. I think he's an idiot.
Yeah. It's a bit far-fetched, isn't it? Also, does he have...
I don't think anybody really believes this, does he?
I don't think so.
He's doing this expedition, though.
How
much money does he have?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure the university's paying for it.
What university?
Harvard.
Right. When he... are they call him an astrophysicist? Mm-hmm. Is that what they call him? When he arrived in Australia... Did he spend a bit of time around Nimbin in the hills? Just, I'm trying to work out exactly where he came to this sort of. I'm just thinking that maybe.
Well, he's not completely a bonkers because
he's
the US Space Command released a report earlier this year that said that object, there was something that went across the sky and that it did come from another star system.
It's called a shooting star.
But it was a meteor, is what they've said. But he insists it's a UFO, and he's going digging
for it. I say good luck to you. If you want to go exploring down there, you might find other things.
Who's paying for this?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, if we're paying for it, we don't want anything to do with it.
I don't know
while
if we're
he's
paying.
Down there, can he go find some other good stuff?
What?
I don't know, some new animals down there? Some see-through animals that live on the bottom of the ocean?
I know you believe in ghosts. Liesl.
I believe in energy.
Do you believe in aliens?
No, I do not. I draw the line at aliens. Okay.
But
it's not my thing.
Hang on. You believe in ghosts, you don't believe in aliens, but you have a go bag in case there's an Armageddon and you'll see zombies.
That's a virus.
You believe
That's
in
not
zombies,
aliens.
Though?
No, I don't believe in zombies.
Well, what's the go bag for?
What's the world? If the world gets wiped out.
Oh, well, hang on.
By a meteor.
One and the same.
Not an alien or not a zombie.
She's a mystery wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in an Olympic swimmer, at Lisa Jones.
A little bit of hypocrisy there.
Anyway, good luck to you, Avy. All the best.
Hope you find something.
I hope you find something too.
Pull it up and show us.
With the Rugby League World Cup final coming up this weekend, Dobbo, it's been a funny tournament. It's been kind of in and out of headlines and all the rest of it, but pre-season is underway.
Yeah, it certainly is. They're back. And look, I've been at the Dolphins and at the Broncos over the last 2 weeks and they're back. And the majority of the big boys, the first graders, were back, except for a few of the Broncos players who will return on Monday. One of them being recently re-signed. He's gone for another year on big cash. He's the boy from Baralaba, straight from off the buffle grass. I talk none other than Corey Oates, who's out of Dolby at the moment doing running skills days and obviously back to grassroots rugby league. Hey, mate, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, mate. There's plenty of buffle grass in it, I tell you.
It is. It's very green at the moment. How excited? I mean, there was a real chance that you were going to leave Brisbane. I know you started there. I remember calling your first game of football, and you looked like it at some stages you were going to go. You've backed yourself, and you've taken a one-year deal. Is that to prove to a point that you can have another season like you did last year?
Yeah, it was for myself. You know, firstly, I didn't want to listen to everyone or, you know, people say that my career was done and all that. And, yeah, it was just all that hard work that, you know, I've told you about, you know, plenty of times, though, but just me and you. It's, you know, it's just looking after yourself, and didn't really like everyone telling me when I was done. And, it was hard to hear, but it was true, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I wasn't playing great footy, and I wasn't doing much to change that. And, you know, to be honest, it was, I always say it was honestly do or die for me, to be fair. You know, if I didn't look after my body and, you know, come out the way I did, I don't know sort of how the, you know, contracts and where I'd be. You know, I honestly couldn't tell you what would happen this year or next season.
Corey, you won't know this person, but when I was young, I went to a tip-top camp with Glenn Houseman. Now, he was one of the biggest 1,500-metre swimmers at the time, and I was just in awe of him, and I still distinctly remember that day that I got to train with a champion. I imagine this is what it's like for kids in Dolby when they get to train with a superstar like you.
Yeah, well, it's honestly amazing when you bring that stuff up. You know, being in the game and playing for so long, you know, you forget about all the stuff that happened when you were a junior, and when you're in school, you know, all the big names that come and, you know, train with you and threw the footy around, kick the footy around. It, you know, it puts a massive smile on your face, and I haven't forgotten any of them. And, you know, to be able to come out here and do the same thing for people out in Dolby and kids in Toowoomba, it's honestly a great feeling. And I learned pretty young, thankfully, that, you know, to come out and do this stuff, it's, you know, just enjoy it. And to be honest, it's good to act like a kid again.
Well, this is what's happening, Corey. The Brisbane Broncos, they're blitzing Darling Downs. You got yourself, Kirk Capewell, Tom Flegler, Reno, and the recently retired Andrew McCulloch going back to his home school. Yep. So you're doing great things. Just hearing you reflect on your career rather honestly, though, Corey, I feel like I need to give you a little bit of a pump up, mate. You're fifth all time on the Broncos try scoring.
Oh, he knows.
Ladder.
He knows.
And you know that
didn't mention it.
You know,
no,
that
he
at
does
the end of end of next season, Corey, you'll be second. You are going to leave Mick Hancock, Wendell Saylor, Darren Lockyer all in your dust next year, and you'll be sitting behind the one and only Steve Renoff.
Wow.
Reno keeps reminding me. Don't worry. He said before 100, I gave you none, and now that you pass 100, I've given you 20. don't worry. He's counting, not me.
Well, you and as I said, your teammates and Andrew McCulloch as well, a former Bronco, now retired, heading out to Dolby to do some great things in the community.
Yeah,
out there.
Big thank you to their sponsors, Arrow Energy, who are big grassroots supporters of the Broncos, and obviously get that in there. So, Oatsy, go well, mate. We look forward to seeing you running, doing laps next week round like a horse, mate, back around the field.
Thanks. Cheers, guys.
The triple header.
The Socceroos World Cup campaign may be kicking off to a good start with the news that France might be a little bit injured.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes, I am telling you there is a chance. It's going to be exciting. Kickoff. Well done, Liam. The work experience kid's doing well.
When are we getting rid of the intern? Can we pump the intern? Seriously.
No, that's all right. Keep anyway. Talking. The injuries include Christopher Nkuku has had a last-minute leg injury after a heavy collision in training. So it's not looking good for him. And Karim Benzema has been limited to just light running drills and has really struggled to prove his fitness. He only managed 15 minutes at training with his knee complaints, and he's been really limited with his playing time for Real Madrid. Now, the Real Madrid coach, Carlo Ancelotti, has denied feverishly that they're saving him for the World Cup. But it's got a bit of a feeling of doth protest too much. It might be a little bit of over-explanation there. But centre-back Presnel Kimpembe is also a late change and has been replaced by Axel Disasi. It's going to be played Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. our time, the Group D clash.
I love that Lisa will pick the story with so many names. That
she loves it.
And I wrote it down at the bottom, and in my own handwriting, I can't read it.
Yes.
I don't know if you're West Tigers fans out there, but I tell you what.
I am because of the coach.
Well,
not anymore.
Not anymore. And West Tigers fans, every time, they shake their head in disbelief about decisions that they make. They made another howler today. Their best player in Jackson Hastings, who has been their best player, who was their best in Paris last year, is now being traded to the Newcastle Knights. So he has gone to the Knights in replace. They've done a swap for David Clemmer. Now, David Clemmer in his day was as good and as hard a front rower than you could poke a stick at. Mm. But his best days are past him for Clem. Now, all this is great because the Knights are building nicely. But you've got to feel for Tyson Gamble. Tyson Gamble left Brisbane because he wanted a starting shot at 5'8 in the Newcastle Newcastle Knights. So he's gone down there thinking that no MILF, he's going to have free reign, blah, blah, blah. And then they started talking about Kalen Ponga potentially playing at 5'8. Mm. And now they've just gone and bought Jackson Hastings. So, Tyson, it's not looking good for you, my friend. Could be playing in New South Wales Cup, and it's not a good thing. He's a good footballer, but anyway.
That's no good.
No.
That's no good. Now, quickly, before we get stuck into, after 5 o'clock, Lisa, you've got a famous actor mate set to join us.
Yes,
who's been filming
the Black Book.
A movie with Russell Crowe. But, Dobbo, you mentioned the other week you took a bit of a bath when crypto went through the floor.
A big bath.
Yeah, you took a big bath.
A bubble bath.
You took a big boy bath when crypto went through the floor.
Yeah.
Well, spare a thought for the NBA's Cade Cunningham. Now, Cade Cunningham of the Detroit Pistons was the number one draft pick a few years back.
Yeah.
His current deal, I think, is worth somewhere in the vicinity of $45 million. He's a well-paid
young man,
okay?
Yep.
But when he was drafted, he signed a deal with BlockFi, which is a crypto.
Yeah.
How'd
that go?
To receive 100% of his signing bonus in Bitcoin, BlockFi are currently preparing to file for bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
So while you may have taken.
So is that 100% of his pay, or is that in addition?
100% of his signing bonus. So not his salary.
Okay,
he's still getting millions.
Yep.
But his signing bonus, which would have been seven figures.
Oh, no.
I dare say he's not seeing any of that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you
it's
know.
It's all over.
Yours is probably a bird bath in comparison.
He
to
might
what,
need to watch the 30 for 30, the ESPN special on the NBA players that go broke.
Just take the money.
Just,
don't try and be
clever.
Just
don't
be
clever.
The Fortinet Australian PGA Championship, November 24 to 27 at Royal Queensland Golf Club. Tickets at Ticketek.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
The Triple M Rush Hour's Bull Bucket.
Who doesn't love a bash and crash at the driving range? You put your code in, you scan your barcode, whatever.
I'm actually going this weekend to
Are
the
you?
Drive. Yeah,
so
I have to put some practice
in. Preparation
in.
For yes. next week's PGA Masterclass.
Well, I've got to practice for the practice.
I don't blame you. I'm there as well. I'm not going to lie. I'm there
embarrass
as well.
Myself.
You punch your code into the ball machine at the driving range. The balls spill out into the bucket. And if you have ever practiced counting the balls as they come out, you'll be in good shape for our competition today. To win a spot for you and a mate at the PGA Masterclass next week as part of the Fortinet Australian PGA Championship, 24th to the 27th of November at Royal Queensland Golf Club. Tickets are available at Ticketek. If you can tell us how many balls come out of our ball machine, the Triple M ball machine, you can win a spot in that Masterclass.
That's exactly right. We've got Tim from Oxenfurn. Good afternoon.
G'day, Lisa. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Are you a bit of a golfer?
I'm a bit of a golf fan, yeah. Play a bit of golf whenever I can.
Do you have a handicap?
Oh, it's probably around about 12 or 13 at the moment.
Oh, gee, you'd
not
be
bad.
Good. Sure. Hopefully you've entered for the PGA
Pro-Am.
Have you entered?
I haven't entered, no. No, I didn't know you could, to be honest.
I think Liam or Dobbo might like to...
We'll get your details after
get
this,
details.
Timmy.
Andrew from Coomera, good afternoon.
How you going, guys?
Good, good. Are you a bit of a golfer?
Oh, I love me golf every Saturday, Sunday.
Excellent.
Saturday and Sunday.
Clearly you're single, Andrew.
That suggests yes.
That suggests yes. You don't play Saturday, Sunday if you've got a bride.
Tim and Andrew, the way this works, I'm going to fire up the Triple M ball machine. You just got to listen closely and tell me how many balls fall out. Nearest the pin will win. Liesl has the official number. So turn your radio up and everybody else play along. Tim, Andrew, you ready to roll?
Ready, yeah.
Yep, let's go.
All right, here we go. We are firing up the Triple M ball machine. It's those late ones. It's the ones that just trickle off right at the end. Righto, Tim, you got through first. What is your bid, sir?
Tim.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it is. Let's go 24.
24. Andrew, you came through second. Nearest the pin will win this. What are you going with?
Oh, let's go 25.
Oh, he's done the old prices right, Lisa.
Done the old prices right. It was 33. So, Andrew from Coomera, you're heading off to the masterclass.
Well done, Andrew. The old Price is Right tactic paid off for you. A spot for you and a mate in the PJ Masterclass. Tim, you do not walk away empty-handed, though, mate. We have got a GA family pass for you to get along to the Fortnite Australian PJ Champs.
Amazing. Appreciate it.
Enter in the Pro-Am.
And Tim, and get on the Triple M website, triplem.com. Do you go to the win page and sign up for the Pro-Am, and you might land a spot on Team Double or Team Liam.
I'll do that this Saturday.
We got talking about TV characters. And Dobbo was putting forward Rip Wheeler.
Rip Wheeler is the number one TV star that I've ever seen. Just an amazing human being.
And somebody called up to suggest as the greatest TV character of all time, Al Bundy from Married with Children.
He was quite a popular choice, actually.
He was. But then we started talking about the fact that I don't know if Al Bundy gets on TV these days.
I think he might suffer from the cancel culture that is very heavy around this time, that some of the jokes maybe through the lens of 2022 don't quite pass the
pub
test.
That's exactly right. The snowflakes, as you know, some people would refer to them. Now, we put it out there as something of a joke, the idea, let's do a countdown of the five shows that wouldn't get to air these days. But we've been inundated with people saying, you got to include this.
Yep.
You got to have this one on the list. Now, the difficulty of this is because they aren't inappropriate for today's world, apparently, is how do we
You can't
talk
actually
about
play any of you can't play any of the audio because some of it is when you listen to it back you go, oh, that's a bit
So we're gonna try. We're gonna try, Lisa.
We'll tiptoe around the best parts of it, but we're gonna do a top five. We're gonna do a power ranking
of TV.
Please
understand we're not trying to offend
anybody. No, we're not, and we're not pulling these out just to be whatever, but these are shows that would not make it in today's cancel culture if they were to be played. Now, we're going to start off with an honorary mention to Apu from The Simpsons because he's suffered from stereotyping.
Yes.
He's now, we
found out, been reduced to a non-speaking role.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand why
I don't know.
But anyway.
Because he was voiced by Hank Azaria, who's not an Indian. Presumably.
But Hank Azaria did the voices to most of them.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know. Anyway, right, and we can't play any of him because...
No, well, he doesn't speak
anymore.
He's
been cancelled, so we can't play him.
All right, number five, we've got Summer Heights High, and in particular is the character Jonah.
Kids in the class don't even care because they're doing their work and they're concentrating and it's boring and all of a sudden they get a joke and they just get a little break from their work and they get
and
to
then,
laugh.
And then Jonah from Tonga, played by Chris Lilley, gets inappropriate, so we have to bring that down.
So that's that
one. So he's number five. And, you know, he could have been higher given the way he goes at different stages.
All his shows got taken off Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he plays a lot of characters as well. Number four, we have already mentioned Al Bundy from Married with Children.
Hey, honey. Did you miss me?
With every bullet so far.
I shouldn't laugh.
It's rough. And when you listen, this is particularly what we were listening back to, and some of it is so sexist. And being a woman, some of it was a bit borderline, but it was still funny.
We sat there during the ads.
Going, you can't laugh at that
particularly
anymore.
Our old mate in the corner who now has his head in his hands, giggling. God. It was a very funny character.
It was a bit cringe
for his time.
For that generation, I remember remember as a kid watching it. So
yeah,
it must,
Christina
must
Applegate
have,
was hot.
Oh, she was amazing. But yeah. It must have gone over my head. All right, number three. A lot of people might remember this one. It's probably in general just the NRL footy show. Mm. But there was one particular segment, which was Mahatma Cope.
Yeah.
We can't play it.
Damn, we can't play that.
No way.
So
that I was on the footy show. I was on there.
The footy show was good, and some of it was. That was probably
it was of
the
its
worst
time
of
as well.
It.
It was of its time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work anymore. They tried to reinvent it. And it doesn't
it
work.
It doesn't work, and that comedy just doesn't resonate now. Number two, I don't think this will be a surprise to anyone. Kingswood Country.
Oh, my
Ted
God.
Bullpit.
Ted Bullpit was a legend. He was, I mean.
Back in that time.
Back in that time, he was very good.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Oh,
I've
my
never
God.
Seen it either. It
oh
was it 70s?
No, 80s. 80s, 84. Okay. 93 episodes. Could be the most offensive stuff. It was good. Like, he had the Kingswood. He had okay. a Kingswood to clap down.
But typical racist Australian.
No, it was Aussie Ocker that. Verged, like, okay. It wasn't intentional nasty racism. It was just a multicultural world where this old iconic bloke, as a kid, it was hysterical. Now,
cancel
it
culture.
See, yeah,
no,
it doesn't
fly.
Yeah.
All right, number one, this is probably no surprise when you know what the skit is. Mm. It's Hey Hey, It's Saturday, Red Faces skit. And in particular, it's the Jackson 5.
It's the Jackson 5 sketch and Harry Connick Jr.,
yes.
the guest judge. And this is Harry reacting to the sketch.
Harry, a little better than the last act, perhaps.
Man, if they turned up looking like that in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. No. You're right, actually. So we'll just keep it at zero.
Like, hey, hey, there's no more show.
Yeah. Let's go to Jackie now.
Why am I palm sweating?
You can hear John Blackman there. Yeah. He was doing the voiceover, getting
so
very
uncomfortable. Harry Connick Jr. might have been the first cancel culture inductee of
he started it
of starting cancel culture by saying this wouldn't fly in the US, and looking back now, it's dreadful and not even remotely funny. So, I mean.
Next
Top
time,
five.
Next time, let's do a list of things we can play.
Yes, because you were very limited with what you could play because not appropriate. Yeah.